Hi, this is Farah. Welcome to Military Law and Life Matters, the podcast that arms you with knowledge so you don't become a victim of injustice. So happy to be back again. So what are we doing today? I'm today going to discuss the Board of Review reading rooms. Last time I think I told you I was going to go over some of the services cases that they've decided for the Discharge Review Board and, you know, just kind of go over more recent cases in 2023 and kind of discuss how the different services are handling cases in the recent months, et cetera, and this year. So in the show notes, you're going to see the link for the Board of Review reading rooms, because you could actually go on it yourself as well and read the cases. What they do, the services kind of summarize the case. They never reveal the identity, you know, privacy information for the applicant, but you can read them just like I did and get an idea of how the services are looking at cases. So I will have a link for that. But right now I'm going to just click on, I'm on the Board of Review reading rooms, and I'm going to click on Air Force. So the Air Force has a link, and then I'm going to click on Discharge Review Board. And then, so what I did, I looked for 2023 for the Air Force DRB cases, and there were roughly 30 cases. And I said, okay, let me look through all these and kind of pick the good cases I can discuss and talk to veterans about so they can get an idea of how cases are being decided. And to my surprise, after I read all the cases, I hadn't looked at this in the recent past, so I hadn't seen these 2023 cases, but I saw out of about 30 cases, 22 were COVID related, right? So I thought it would be very interesting to talk about all these 22 or so cases and tell you how the Air Force has been reviewing and deciding these cases. So it's really interesting. It's pretty straightforward, but basically it's very important because if you were a victim of this COVID-19 era and were discharged and you're now a veteran and it was due to that you refused to take the COVID vaccine, you can apply to get your discharge upgraded based on inequity. I'm going to go all over that and let me get right to the cases. So out of the about 20 cases or so that I read dealing with COVID-19, all of these applications were done by veterans themselves. There was no counsel involved, right? So it's pretty straightforward. There were no counsel. They were all record reviews. No one requested a board because they're basically just making the allegation this was unjust, unfair, that I was discharged due to the COVID vaccine refusal. So there was no board requested. The basis of this request was basically, well, I was discharged because I refused to take the COVID vaccine, a 19 vaccine. And then, hey, by the way, this policy has now been rescinded. So you remember there was a rescission. I talked about that in a prior podcast, but on January 10th, 2023, the Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, rescinded this vaccine mandate. Again, there's going to be links on the show notes to all of these so you can read them if you haven't. And they said, hey, it was rescinded, so it's not fair that I was discharged. If this happened today, I wouldn't have been discharged, etc. So that's what they said in their little application. They said it was rescinded. This was unfair. Okay, so interestingly, out of the 20 or so cases, some of these applicants had actually requested religious exemptions. Some had requested medical exemptions, but not all of them. I don't know if it was about 50-50 or less than 50% had requested the religious accommodation. Some just refused to take it. Okay. Now, the refusals varied from some of the discharge paperwork showed that some person refused it once. There were some that refused it 5-6 times. So that varied as well, but they were all discharged. And the basis for the discharge was you violated a lawful, well, not the basis for the discharge, but the misconduct was punished with either like a LOC, LOR, Article 15, but it was based on failure to obey a lawful order to take the vaccine. What kind of punishments did these people get? It varied between counselings, record of injury counseling, letters of reprimand to Article 15s. And for the ones who had more than one, they did like the progressive punishment. So they maybe started out with a counseling, LOC, NJP. So there were a handful or so of NJPs. That wasn't as common. It was mostly letters of reprimand. And the provision of what they were discharged under on their DD-214, it said misconduct. Okay. And some of those, you know, that there's types of misconduct. There's something called minor disciplinary infractions under misconduct that's written on the DD-214. There's also something called a pattern of misconduct under the general heading of misconduct. And the most serious is misconduct commission of a serious offense. So I'd say like half of them were minor disciplinary infractions. There was a good chunk that were discharged for commission of a serious offense. Pattern of misconduct, a couple. That was not as common, but that was also a reason. But it was all under misconduct. I think I took all of the veterans received a general under honorable conditions. You could not get an OTH for violating this mandate. Okay, so what did the boards do? So now you know what they were all asking for, what they had gotten. Again, lawful order violation, general discharge, and misconduct with a varying degree of severity, which again, the commission of a serious offense, when I think of that, this is not what I think of. Yeah, you think of like things that people are damaging property, et cetera, or assaulting people. So that was like maybe a third of these. Okay, what did the board do? Well, in all of these cases, the board unanimously, they all voted to upgrade each of these veterans' discharge to an honorable discharge. They changed the narrative reason on their DD-214s to secretarial authority. And all of them also had their reenlistment codes changed from 2C to 3K. Trying to research the 3K, there's some language about whether you cannot immediately reenlist, but I'm honestly cannot tell you for sure how that affects your reenlistment. If you're interested, you may want to talk to a recruiter. It doesn't seem that it's like prohibits you from ever entering the armed forces. Maybe there's a waiver required, but I wasn't able to find out exactly how that would affect you, but it's much better than a 2C. Okay, so that's maybe 18 of those cases. And all of these cases, if I didn't tell you, all of the misconduct in these cases of the individual's discharge, it was all based on refusal to take the vaccine. There was no other type of misconduct involved. Now, interestingly, out of the 22 of the cases, the military members did have other misconduct. And I'd want to talk to you about those two cases, because that might apply to you. And those cases, so the first case, let me tell you, this person had multiple letters of reprimand, letter of counseling for failing to take the COVID vaccine. But in addition to that, this veteran, this guy or gal, I'm not sure, had other like letters of reprimand and counseling, including failure to attend a dental appointment, missing like FTAC, first-term airman, like appointments, accruing debts on their credit card, telling the person's supervisor that they don't have their driver's license, but then it was found that they had it in an unopened email. I mean, this person did a lot of different little things here and there. And got like he had a slew of letters of reprimand, counseling, things like that. Again, not for crimes of the century, but wasn't really doing everything he was supposed to. And though, just so you know, this person actually had applied for religious exemption 3 times and was denied. So what did the board do in this case? The board actually granted the same upgrade as they did for all the others that didn't have other misconduct. They upgraded to an honorable, they gave him a secretarial authority, and then the 3K reenlistment code. And what the board said in the write-up, reason why they did that is because they believe this other misconduct by itself would not have constituted a sufficient basis for the administrative discharge. So they said, despite this other misconduct, we're still going to give him the relief because, yeah, he had some other misconduct, but, you know, wasn't enough to discharge him. So, yeah, so this one also. So, you know, I don't, this is not black and white. If you have a COVID refusal violation, and other stuff, it doesn't mean you're going to get yours automatically upgraded. They look at what was involved. Like if you had some other serious offenses, you know, like a couple of DUIs, Article 15s, then you're probably not going to get your discharge upgraded based on this COVID issue. However, yeah, so that was one case. Okay, what was the other case? The other case, and I told you, they said it would not have been enough in itself to discharge the guy. The second case was interesting. This person was discharged again for a general under minor disciplinary infractions. And this person had multiple letters of reprimand, also failed to take the COVID six times. It was a failed to obey the lawful order to receive the vaccine. Then they had some other issues. This person, it was actually COVID related, but it was a little bit different. It wasn't just refusal, but they said that this person attended a gathering maskless. So this is when they were mandating masks. And then he was also closer than 6 feet from these other individuals. I'm assuming these were like military activities, 6 feet from people outside. You're allowed to be within 6 feet with members of your household, but these were not people that were part of his household, and he was closer than 6 feet. So I'm assuming he was at some gathering, military, and he showed up maskless and closer than 6 feet to people, and someone reported him. So they threw that in there. But guess what? The board said, well, we're upgrading his discharge too, because the misconduct by itself would not have constituted a sufficient basis for the administrative discharge. So this, you know, then the 20 or so discharges, they all had their discharge upgrade to an honorable, fully honorable, and then secretarial authority. So that's, that's good news for you in terms of you really should probably apply and get your DD 214 changed if you're under this, if you haven't already. Again, you know, the impetus, I said that 10 January rescission, that's like the basis. But also, I just want to share with you, which the board decision cited as well, there is a DOD instruction that talks about what is deemed inequitable. And it's like a perfect example of how it applies to this COVID mandate discharge upgrade application. So in the write-ups for the discharge reward, they cite this DOD instruction. It's DOD instruction 1332.2A. And it says a discharge is deemed equitable unless, and the unless in this case is, it says, unless it's determined the policy and procedures under which the applicant was discharged differ in material respect from those currently applicable on a service-wide basis. So exactly this case, it's different now. Current policies are substantially different than what happened when this applicant was discharged, and there's substantial doubt the applicant would have been discharged, right? So that's right in a DO instruction, and they cite that in their rationale. They said, you know, this person wouldn't have received the same discharge under current policy. So an exact definition right at that DOD instruction. So there you go. Like when the policies change, right? When policies change, doesn't just apply to the COVID vaccine, but if there's some other policy that changed and you're discharged under the old policy, that would be a basis for upgrade your discharge. Those are like not as common, but they do happen, like in this example. So, yeah. So again, as I said, do your own, you don't need an attorney, do your own application, look at these cases, just go read them. And the boards actually give you the language, and you can throw in the DOD rescission letter. You don't have to, they know about it. And then you say, I refused it. And again, not all these individuals had requested the exemptions, whether it were religious or medical, but they still were all granted. Now, and again, based on the fact they said, okay, no one's going to have to now take the vaccine, whether you have a religious exemption or not, or requested one. So yeah, you got a really good precedent. Again, who wants to have a D214 that says misconduct, serious offense on it? Who wants one that's general? Like, let's say you were in 4 years, 5 years, you would have lost your GI Bill with a general. Now, if you get it upgraded, obviously the GI Bill, it depends how many years you've served. You're not automatically entitled. Well, you are entitled, but it depends how many years you've been in, what type of benefits you get. So the other thing that I want to, when we're speaking about memos, I want to talk about another memo. It's a little bit twist. This is not necessarily related to the discharge upgrades, but very interesting. So on January 23rd, Secretary of the Air Force Frank Kendall put out a memo basically saying that, hey, you know, the COVID vaccine, you know, there's been a rescission on that. And if you're on active duty currently and you applied for either a religious accommodation, medical exemption, or administrative exemption, and you had done that before getting some type of adverse action, such as a letter of reprimand, an adverse like OPR, EPR, things like that, then the Air Force is automatically going to go to your records and remove those things. But the caveat is you had to have requested an exemption. either before you got the punishment or if it was contemporaneous, like you were actually getting it and it was pending. So for those members in the Department of the Air Force, they're going to go through and remove those. And they're going to then tell you, like the Air Force is going to tell you that, hey, we've completed a review, we're going to remove these. So that's pretty interesting. Then he followed up with another memo, Secretary of Air Force Frank Kendall, 25 February 2023. Again, but this is a little bit more detail. So he says, again, if you had requested an exemption for religious, medical, or administrative exemptions, then we are going to, for members of the Air Force Reserve active duty, we are going to then have these items removed. And then in detail, they discuss what type of items. It specifically says this does not apply to members who refused the COVID vaccine and did not request an exemption. Okay, so it's only for people who request an exemption. So it says letters of admonishment, counseling, reprimand, those are going to be removed. Then it talks about, and it just discusses in detail, like who has the authority to remove this stuff. NJPs, you know, there's a non-judicial punishment. There's a procedure to set these aside. So they set it aside. It goes away. Referral performance reports. So if you got a referral based on this, then they're going to just like get rid of that performance report. But if you had, let's say you had additional misconduct let's say you're a captain and you refused it. So it had that failed to obey lawful order. But let's say you got an NJP for DUI, for example, and that's in there. Well, in that case, they're going to, you know, redact the COVID portion of it and refusal, and they're going to still keep the performance report for the captain that talks about the NJP for a DUI. So, and it talks about promotion records involved, all that stuff. Now, for people who are now veterans, because they're not in active duty, they're not going to have the Air Force automatically review these and get, you know, remove the stuff from your records, but it says you can apply to the board for correction of military records. And it has some other stuff about this memo. If you're requesting other exemptions for other vaccines, there's some other process that I'm not going to go into, but again, this is going to be on the, my link. And these are linked in a really good, the Air Force Review Board's page. It has a link that talks about all this. So it's really helpful. That's why I clicked on that website. So I'll attach that website and then you can get the letters and everything. So at least some good news that, yeah, you can get your discharge upgraded at least. And boy, if you're eligible for the GI Bill, that's kind of huge. All right. So that's what I want to talk. Again, I was really surprised to see all these, because I was on a sabbatical for a while. So I wasn't keeping up with all these cases, but it was refreshing, you know, looking at these now. I'm like, wow, all these were a lot of these were COVID cases. So so I went over that. Now what I want to tell you. Now, in general, I do want to basically go over two cases. These are not in the realm of COVID cases. These are just cases in my mantra of like when you do an application, you got to give the board a reason why your discharge was inequitable, right? So there were several other cases in this 30, but I picked two of like the basic why. I read it and I'm like, okay, yeah, this is going to be denied. Because right away I see, right? You gotta give the board a reason of why your discharge was inequitable. You can't, and I'm really sorry. Like, I don't mean to make light of this, but if you don't, people just don't know, right? They don't know what they're doing. They just said, oh, you know, I want to go back in the Air Force, like upgrade my discharge. No, the rule is you have to show the board that there was an inequity or impropriety, right? That basically means like a legal error or it was just unjust, unfair. You got to tell them something. So that's, you know, so these two cases are a perfect example. Let me just go over the two quickly because I see this a lot. People just say, I want my GI Bill. I don't want my veterans benefits. I want this. No, that's not even relevant for them. You don't even have to put that in your application. Actually, I tell applicants, don't even put that in there. It's irrelevant. They don't, you know, they're probably feel bad for you, but they're not going to upgrade it because, oh gosh, you don't have your GI Bill. So the first case, this one, I was a little bit shocked because the person was represented by counsel. And I'm just going by the summary that Air Force did in their write-up. It says applicant was requested represented by counsel. And in this one, this person was discharged for misconduct, serious offense. And what they said, and again, the reason they said why they want their discharge upgraded was basically that, you know, it says applicant wishes to re-enter the military. She, in this one, they said it was a she. She contended the discharge was inequitable based on her quality of service and capability to serve. Okay. Well, so they're just person saying this veteran, when they did, they're like, well, I really had good service and I'm able to serve and I want to re-enter. But look what they were discharged for. The person was discharged for with an Article 15 in the records for the failure to refrain from consuming alcohol. I guess they got, they were probably in some program. So that's not in of itself, you know, a crime, but it was a violation maybe of they were in ADAP. I'm not sure. It doesn't say. But the other thing is assaulted a police officer who was known to be in the execution of military police duty. So basically the military police, I mean, this person basically struck a military police officer in the face with her fist. She was drunk and disorderly and assaulted a police. So that's not good. And she was discharged. So, you know, pretty serious, I'd say. I guess it's mitigated because she probably did it because she was drunk, but still serious. And just saying, I want to re-enter is just not going to cut it. Like, is there some other story we're missing? Were you like deployed to Afghanistan? I'm just making this up. Were you deployed to Afghanistan for a year, got really bad PTSD, became an alcoholic, you know, drank every day to self-medicate and did something really bad, right? You shouldn't be assaulting military police officers, but you know, maybe there's a little nexus there. You know, your PTSD caused the misconduct. Before that, you were a stellar airman, right? You show before that you were like below the zone, senior airman below the zone, doing great. Everyone, you know, 5 feet PRs. And then you get deployed and then all hell, everything goes to hell. So basically, you know, that's just an example, right? Because then you got those DOD memos that help you too. Liberal consideration. It doesn't mean automatically your discharge is going to be upgraded, but the DOD, the CURTA, Wilkie, all those memos basically say to the boards, hey, you know, try to liberally apply the rules when this occurs. And again, the sequence is you have to have had the mental health. It doesn't have to just be PTSD based on a deployment. Any type of mental health issue then is followed by misconduct if there's a nexus. So I think you get the point. I've done so many podcasts on this issue, but that's case one. And then quickly, you know, the other case is also equally, you know, very much lacking in got to give me a reason to upgrade it, right? And there is no reason. This guy's like, well, I just want to attend school. Okay. So I'm assuming he's saying, you know, I don't have the GI Bill now. I really want an upgrade, but that's not a reason. As I said, I tell clients, like, don't even put that in there. It's irrelevant. It even hurts you, maybe. Like, you got to give a reason of why it was inequitable, right? And this person, as far as the misconduct, it was in Article 15, multiple letters of reprimand, letter of counseling, included failure to report on time, performance of duties. Oh, this one also is, I don't mean to laugh, but this one assaulted an airman. So a lot of stuff in this person's, and then just saying, I want to go to school is not going to cut it. Cause what the boards think is, right. I was on these boards too. Like it was one of my jobs. I love that job where I sat on these boards and looked at these cases, but you got to give me a reason of why you should have your discharge upgraded where someone who had nothing, right. No misconduct on their records and served 4 years, they get an honorable. Like, why should you get an honorable? Do you understand how that's their thinking? Like, you got to show, well, this was unfair because of X, Y, Z. This is unfair because I got beat. So you got to give them a reason. So I think I beat this one to death, but I hope this makes sense. This is like the number one reason you're not going to get, you just waste your time and then you're going to wait a year to get an answer on it. So you got to give a reason. You know, please read my guide on my website. Look at these cases too. I'm giving you the website. You can read them on your own. It's not really rocket science, and you can just basically try to do the application yourself. I have podcasts that go over these principles, but please don't submit an application just says upgrade my discharge. I want to go to school. I want to enter the military. You got to give reasons. So assuming these write-ups, you know, are pretty detailed as to what the person said. Anyway, that is that. So yeah, I hope that was helpful because as I said, I hadn't read these cases either. And I'm glad at least for the COVID, you know, they're you know, they're probably getting lots of them. So please do your application. I mean, it should be pretty easy to get that change. You know, don't go into extraneous matters. Just go into, yeah, I've refused it, whether or not you had the exemption. So anyway, what I'll do in future, you know, this was the Air Force. I'll do some in the future. I'll talk about some Army cases, Navy, Marine, and then Coast Guard. And, you know, just in looking actually at the website, I have to tell you that I was clicking on the Army and their cases, you know, they're into 2022, so they don't have 2023 cases. So we'll see what the 2022 ones say, but I'll do a sampling of cases for the Army. There might be COVID one. I'm not sure, but we'll see. And then with the Navy, and of course the Navy handles the Marine Corps cases. So it was fun for me to go look at these cases again. And I hope that was helpful. Please check out those show notes, because I'm going to have links to all the stuff you need to do the application yourself, the Board of Review, the Discharge Review Board reading rooms, the Air Force Review Board's agency website that has links to the COVID policy, et cetera, that gives you all the information. It's really good. I'm so glad they put that on there, because it's just one place, one-stop shopping. You can go and get all the, you know, updates on any different policy changes. So, all right. Well, that was it for today. I will do some future episodes, again, discussing other other services cases. And please, you know, share the podcast if you know some veterans who are maybe discharged under this COVID refusal, or you know, people on active duty. I'm sure people on active duty all know, but, you know, share it with them, because I think it can benefit them. And as I always say, never, ever give up, because there is always hope. I look forward to talking to you next time. Take care.